Amen. Everybody have a Bible with them. Please take your Bibles and open up to Proverbs chapter 24. I know today's the 25th, but this is the message the Lord gave it to me. And I just want to be able to share it with you tonight and hope and pray that we can really learn something. That's when the book of Proverbs is amazing, amazing book. It's like, you know, remember the old cans of orange juice that would be condensed, it would be frozen, it'd be like in little cans, and you plop it in, you spill, and you put all the water. You remember them, Brian? What?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You're doing all this. I didn't know what that meant. Oh, you liked it. You probably ate it without the water. We added lots of water to it, and it made more and more and more. Well, that's what the Proverbs are. Proverbs are a little concise statement, but inside of it is like great mysteries. And God holds these mysteries in because He wants us to search them out. He wants us to look for them. It says that the Bible, that God conceals a thing. And inside of the scriptures, I want us to look and see so that we can receive the instruction of wisdom, as the Bible says, that God's trying to say to us. Now, in Proverbs chapter 24, we're going to start in verse 27, I believe. But before we do, I just want to say that I had a great time last night at the prison. And after Greg and I and Jason were at the prison, Greg and I went to the Wawa, and we were at the Wawa getting my ice cream like I always get because my throat hurts because I barely have a voice as it is. And that's why I love going to prison on preaching on Tuesdays, but I hate it that it takes my voice away for Wednesday night because I leave it all in the prison. And anyway, we're in there, and a young guy comes up, and he grabs my hand, shakes my hand, and he says, "You're from the prison, aren't you?" And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "I want to thank you." He said, "You changed my life." And I said, "Well, the Lord changed life." He says, "Yeah, but God used you." Here he got saved in the prison, in Unit 5, and he's been out, and he just kept going on and on and on, thanking us up and down, and thanking us up and down. What a pleasure that was. And he said, "I'll be here in church on Sunday." So it was a real blessing that you go out and people, you know, see you. So you need to get involved in a ministry. You need to get involved in something that's higher and more than yourself. Amen. If you're just involved in yourself, then guess what? It's all about you, and it's all about your problems, and it's all about this. When you get involved in someone else's life, something happens to your problems. They go away. Or your problems don't seem as bad anymore when you start getting involved in other people's lives. Amen? And that's what God wants us to do. God wants us to save us and to give us a new heart so that heart can care for others. Amen? Isn't that what it's all about? Proverbs chapter 24, look with me if you would please in verse 27. It says, "Prepare thy work without and make it fit for thyself in the field. And afterwards build thy house." See, he says, prepare your work without, out there, and make it fit for yourself in the field. And I was thinking, I couldn't help but think about the mission field. I couldn't help but think about how our son Mike and just had his video posted. Everybody see the video on Facebook? Only two of us. You didn't see it, Keith? You guys saw it? Fantastic video. We're going to show it in church. 23 minutes. It's a documentary about his ministry there. But the mission field isn't just in Paraguay, in Africa, and in China. The mission field is right here. We are in a mission field. When you look at these other countries, a lot of the churches are packed because they're hungering and thirsting for something. You look at American churches and you see it scattered. Because we have so much. And here God is telling us, prepare your work without and make it fit for yourself in the field. And afterwards, build your house. And it seems like we have it backwards. We're trying to build our house, get our lives together, get everything in our lives together. And then, if we have time, we'll go out. But God says, no, that isn't how it works. You need to have a ministry. You need to go out. You need to prepare, get the field. You know what Jesus said in Mark and John chapter 4 when his apostles all showed up? He said, "Look on the fields, for they are white, the ripe for the harvest." He said, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And here what we need to do is just listen to this little scripture. He says, prepare your work without. Comes to my attention, many people don't have a work. Many people that are saved, and God has saved them, and God sends someone their way. But yet they're not actively involved in the work of getting someone else saved. And I really believe this, that there's certain things in the Bible that I've learned that when it was written, it was taken as a matter of fact. Like, I didn't have to explain that. Like, Christians ought not to do certain things because they don't need to explain that. It's just common sense. And I believe the Bible, when you become a Christian, you receive the power. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, remain in Jerusalem and you shall be endowed with power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. See, when you have the Spirit of God in you, that Spirit that lives in you cares about other people. He cares about people that are out there. And I'm here to tell you, we don't have to go to Africa. Our mission field's all over. Our mission fields are everywhere. And we need to be actively involved in it. And we got to stop thinking about ourselves so much and start thinking about the lost souls that are out there, that they died, where they're going to end up. Jesus Christ gave His life, His blood, His everything so that people can be saved. We need to go and tell more people about it. Amen. I was up there praying. I had a little cutest little girl in the whole world up there praying next to me. I was just praising God for it. God gets a hold of that little girl and she starts telling her friends at a young age. Think of how many souls she can save. Amen. Or lead to be saved. But here, I'll read it and I'll move on. So prepare. That's what we need to do. We need to prepare what? What's the next word? Your work. We need to prepare our work. That is not talking to the pastor. It's not talking to the preachers, to the evangelists, to the missionaries. It's talking to every single born again child of God. Excuse me. It's talking to all of us. We need to prepare. And we need to work. We've got to get active in the work of God. We've got to, church. Look what it says. We'll keep going. It says, be not a witness against thy neighbor without a cause, and deceive not with your lips. Verse 29. Say not, I'll do so to him as he has done to me. I'll render to the man according to his work. You know, that's the golden rule that talks about Matthew 7 and other places. It says that we should do unto others as we would want them, as they should do unto us. Not as they do unto us. Not even as you think, but what you think they should do unto you. We're supposed to be that way. That's not the message. The message is found right here. From verse 27, you jump down to verse 30. And it says, I went by the field of the slothful. Now you look in verse 27, and it says that you ought to make it fit for yourself out in the field. I'm here to tell you, there's two types of fields. There's a field that's out there, and then there's a field that's in here. Keep reading. It says, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it, and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands asleep. So shall poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want, that means you're what you don't have, thy want as an armed man. See, I like it when he says, I saw it and I considered it well. I looked upon it and I received instruction. And that's what I want you to see tonight. This is about the field of the slothful. Prepare your work in the field. The field of the slothful. Every single person has their own vineyard. And you know what it is? The heart of man is the vineyard of God. The heart of man is God's planting. It's like God's garden. You know, like God's little Garden of Eden where He likes to go and see the flowers and see the beauty and get the fruit. And that's each and every one of us, because the seed has been planted, the seed of eternal life, the seed of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has been planted in each and every one of us. And each and every one of us is like a field. You know, the Bible talks about, the sower of the seed. That he went and he sowed seed in the earth, in the field. And it tells you later that that field, that earth, was your heart. But what I want you to see tonight, I want you to see what it says. And look again with me. It says in verse 31, and lo, it was all grown over with what? Thorns and nettles. I just want you to know right now that thorns and nettles are in the Bible a lot. And that's what I want to talk to you tonight about a little bit. It's about what the Bible's talking about these thorns and nettles. If you would turn to me in Genesis chapter 3, you can see where it all started. In Genesis chapter 3, Genesis, the book of beginnings, it's where things all began. Amen. If you look at me in verse 17, Genesis 3:17. Say amen when you're there, please. Good. It says this. It says, "And unto Adam, he said, God said unto Adam, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat it all the days of thy life." Look in verse 18. "Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of thy field. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." I'm here to tell you that the very first thing, the cause of before this happened right here, there was no thorns, there was no thistles, there was no pain and suffering. It was in a perfect place. It was a place where there was no pain, there was no sickness, there was no bees stinging you, there was no mosquitoes getting you, there was no snakes biting you, there was no wasps around, there wasn't even any humidity to make you sweat, praise God. And now here now, because of sin, God brings forth thorns into the world. And in the thorns, I just want to tell you, the Hebrew word for thorn there is gots, G-O-T-S, or coats, K-O-T-S-E, and it means pricking. Pricking. What that pricking means is pain. It means painful. A thorn causes pain, physical pain and damage. God's pronouncement makes it very clear that thorns would be the cause of suffering in the world. Think about that. Thorns represent suffering and pain and injury. Caused by the thorns, they serve as a constant reminder, if you think about that. Suffering, pain, thorns of the earth serve as a constant reminder of what sin has caused and a constant reminder that we need a Savior from it. You know, God brought forth thorns, and I can imagine Adam being made of the ground. Adam being in the, couldn't imagine the very first time he had to go and dig now. He had to go and plow now. He had to go and have a patch of ground. He had to start planting stuff instead of it just growing everywhere and him picking it. Now he had to labor. He had to work to keep food on the table. He had to work to have a life. And that's why it says prepare your work. All of us have got to work. Every single one of us. We got to work, 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 and work some more. We've gotten a little bit lazy when it comes into the work of the Lord. You know, we all have jobs, and you know as well as Ed was praying, it's not enough money. The jobs we have, it's just not giving us enough money. You know that. I'm here to tell you, if we would put in as much, just a little bit of effort as we put into our daily money for our jobs, into God's work, we would have really something. We would have really something. And what I want to talk to you tonight is about the thorns and the nettles. And the thorns means pricking, pain, and suffering. How many people have felt pain and suffering in this world? Amen. It's not fun. It's not good. I don't like it. You don't like it, but it's a constant reminder of the curse that's on this earth. It's a constant reminder of what's out there. And he's talking about, "I went by the field of slothful, and I saw his vineyard, and the wall was broken down, and thorns and nettles had covered the whole ground." Represent that as a man's heart. That a man's heart, if not taken care of, will be covered over with thorns and nettles. Speaking of nettles, I had to look this up. It was pretty interesting. I had all this research on thorns and nettles, so much that you would be bored to death if I read about it. But it was very interesting stuff. But nettles is a herbaceous plant. A herbaceous plant. What that means is it's a perennial. It comes back every year. It has a deep-rooted system. The roots on the nettles, they grow horizontal, and they grow out to 5 feet on each plant. And each plant has, each leaf has prickly pricks on it. And on the stalk, it has these little hairs on it. That if you touch the hairs, it gets in your skin and it irritates and it hurts. These nettles has jagged leaves and covered with stinging hairs. That's why it's called stinging nettles. And they irritate and they blister. And when it comes into contact with the skin, oh my goodness, it's like you don't want to mess with these plants. They're these weeds that grow. And they have a root system that is unbelievable, this root system. And what it is you can't even plow them up. You can't even dig them up because the more you dig, you break the root systems. And when one root system breaks, three branches break out. And the more you dig and the more you try to get them out, the bigger and longer they grow. Controlling nettles is a very virtuous pursuit. It can be a lesson for us all, though. It can be a great lesson because the truth of the matter is you don't want to get nettles and you don't want to get thorns in your heart. Because you know how hard it is to get away? You know how hard it is to get pain out of your heart? Do you know how hard it is to get suffering away? You know how hard it is to get a broken heart healed? I mean, people go around with bitterness. They feel like they're being pricked all the time because they can't get away from it. It's always there. And God's trying to tell us something. To get rid of the stinging nettles, guess what? Like I said, you can't plow it up. You can't dig it up. You know how you have to get rid of them, Mike? You have to, by hand, pull each one out by hand. And gently and try to pull the root system out with it. Because if you break the root system, they continue to grow. Think about that. What a lesson that is. By hand, each and every nettle has to be addressed. Each and everything that grows in our hearts have got to be addressed. And we got to pull them out by hand. I thought of this. They said that if you leave them alone, they can grow up to 20 feet tall. That's a tree. 20 feet tall. Nobody's messing with that thing. So that's a promise. So many Christians, so many people that I know, they're slothful when it comes to their own hearts. And it's unattended. And that's why it says, I went by the field, the vineyard of the slothful, and lo, his wall was broken down, and the stone wall was broken down, and his whole vineyard was full of thorns and nettles. You know, when you get that kind of damage in your heart, every time you try to fix it, it hurts you. Do you ever sit down and try to think about the problems in your life? And all it does is make you cry. Do you ever think about that? Like you start reminiscing about this, your childhood, or this happened, or a failed relationship, or this happened, and this happened. And all of a sudden, it's like you're getting pricked all over again. It hurts all over again. And God's trying to tell us something that what we need to do is we cannot be slothful when it comes to our heart. We've got to be diligent and not let the nettles get in the first place. Amen? Not let the thorns grow. What happens is so many people, they just let it grow. Turn with me, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter 4, please. Book of Jeremiah. Just keep going to the right. You'll see it. There's a great verse here. And we have two problems. One of them is this verse right here. And in Jeremiah 4, look in verse 3 with me. Jeremiah 4, 3. It says, for thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem. Look what he says. Break up your fallow ground and sow not among the thorns. Break up your fallow ground. What that means is the hardened parts of your heart that has not been touched in years. The hardened parts of your heart that you don't want to go near. People, all of us are supposed to keep our hearts so tender, so well tilled, so well fertilized, that when anything of God lands in it, it grows. But the problem is what happens is our ground seems to only grow weeds, things that hurt us. Jesus said in Matthew 7, he said, you shall know them by their fruit. You shall know that person by the fruit that comes from that person. He said, do men pick figs from nettles? And do they pick grapes from thorns? He says, no. See, the truth of the matter is you can see somebody that's got a good, kind heart because good things come out of it. You know, and you see someone who's always smiling and happy and nice and kind. And, you know, it's like if you squeeze them, just a glass of joy comes out. Not bitter fruit and thorns and prickly. Some people are so prickly, you don't want to touch them. Because every time you touch them, it's just a problem and they hurt you. And they hurt you. I'm here to tell you right now that God has given us great wisdom in Proverbs. If you turn with me, please, look at Matthew chapter 7. We were just talking about it. Let's look at it. I won't be long from here. Matthew chapter 7. There's two. Look at me, if you would, in verse 16, Matthew 7:16. Jesus says this. He says, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? And the answer is no. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cut down, and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. What happens to our joy? What happens to the peace of God? What happens to the love that is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost? What happens to all the fruits of the Spirit of God when getting close to God and getting your heart right with God and Jesus Christ? And by hand, He's showing you each and everything in your life. And by hand, you gotta wear those gloves though, and you're pulling each thing out, and you're deep rooted in, you're getting your heart right with God. Anyone ever been there before? And that feeling, and guess what? You can never truly get your heart right with God and have the joy of the Lord unless you're doing the work of God. Out there sharing the gospel. Out there doing a ministry. Going to the prisons. Going to the nursing homes. Going to see Ed. And people shut in. Sop and I got a chance on Tuesday to go out and visit a couple people that can't come out. What a blessing it was just to meet them. To see their smiles on their faces. You cannot experience the fruit of God until you do the work of God. And here what happens is the more and more and more that we stay home, and the more and more and more that we don't do actively involved in the work of God, we don't know it, you don't know it, but nettles and thorns are growing. Nettles and thorns are growing. And you wonder, where's the joy? You wonder, and it seems like all you have is a mess. And it seems like it's so hard to get back there because you're letting the nettles grow. I want you, if you would please, look in Matthew 27. The thorns and nettles are a result of sin. Please listen to me because I'm really not long. I'm not far from being over. Thorns and nettles are a result of sin. You say, well, I'm not doing anything wrong. Slothfulness is sin. To God, if you're not actively involved in what God wants you to be involved in, then you're doing it because you're lazy. There's really no excuse. None of us really have an excuse. We're all, you know, lazy in points, and we're tired, and we have excuse after excuse after excuse. You know that. But there's no excuse when souls are going to hell. There's no excuse when the church isn't filled. When we're not actively involved in the work. Prepare your work without. Then build your house. Prepare your work in the field. Then worry about your own house. Here it says in Matthew 27. Are you there? In Matthew 27. If you would look at me in verse 29. Matthew 27, 29. And I know you know what this is. It says right here, It says right here that, and when they had platted the crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. Jesus Christ wore a crown of thorns. Thorns in the Bible represent judgment. Thorns in the Bible represent sufferings. And Jesus Christ, the judgment that was placed on this world because of man, because of Adam, and the suffering that's in this world, He wore it as His crown. Think about that. When a king wears a crown, that's his symbol. His symbol of his authority. His symbol of his beauty. His symbol of the power that king had. And Jesus, King Jesus, wore the crown of thorns. A symbol of suffering. A symbol of judgment. That He took our judgment. He took the wrath. He took the pain. And He didn't just hide it. He wore it as a crown. Proud to take away the sin of the world. Proud to take away the judgment that's upon man. And He enters into each believer's heart. And He starts to prepare their hearts. And give them a new heart. A heart that can receive the love of Christ. The heart that can receive the love and the peace and the joy. And we start to get our hearts right and we start to rejoice. We're saved. Hallelujah. I'm saved. All my sins are forgiven. I'm going to heaven. And we get our hearts right and start getting rid of stuff out of our hearts. But then all of a sudden something happens. And next thing you know, the joy just isn't there like it used to be. And that peace just isn't there like it was. And the strength and the good fruit of the Holy Ghost just isn't there like it used to be. And without our even knowing it, It's because we're not actively involved in the work of the ministry, the mission field that's out and around there. Here, if you would turn with me to Mark chapter 4, please. Jesus Christ became a curse for us. He wore the judgment as a crown. And in Mark, the book of Mark, chapter 4, it's also in many other places. I want you to read this with me because we all know this. Mark chapter 4. We're going to start in probably verse 1. Mark 4, it says in verse 1, "And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land, and he taught them many things by parables, and sent them unto them in his doctrine. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, and it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up, and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. It fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up." That's our problem every day. It's not my problem, it's all of our problems. That every single day, because we live in this world, the thorns can come in and grow up. The nettles can grow up if we're not careful, if we're not watching, if we're not actively working on our hearts and keeping our hearts right with God. And when you're slothful in prayer, and you're slothful in study, and you're slothful in the work of God and the things of God, what happens is the only thing that can happen is that the thorns and the nettles start growing. And they grow like weeds. You know how weeds are. They grow like weeds. You're like, what happened? I only missed church for 2 weeks and it feels like, you know, I can't find Jesus anymore. I'm here to tell you, that's why God gives us the scripture so that we can understand what he says here. Look at me and we'll keep reading. Verse 8, it says, "Another fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. And he said unto them, he that had ears to hear, let him hear." And we know that the parable, as you look down in verse 19, or in verse 18, it says, "And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and in the lusts of other things, entering in, chokes the word, and it becomes unfruitful." And I'm here to tell you, that's what happens in our daily life without us even doing anything. You know what happens in a garden if you don't do anything? Weeds. What's in a garden? You have to constantly pull weeds. You got to constantly water. You got to fertilize. You got to do, that's our hearts, people. And God's saying that you're slothful if you're not caring about your own heart. How easy is it for us to get an attitude? How easy is it for us to just forget something? How easy is it for us to not keep our hearts right with God? It is so easy. And that's why he's saying all this. I want you to go back with me where we started, and I'll finish in a minute. Proverbs 24. I want you to see something. In verse 31, are you there? Proverbs 24, 31. Look what it says. It says, well, first of all, in 30, verse 30, it tells us, "I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding." That's why this message tonight may be simple, but it's important, because if we don't understand how it works, then we're going to miss out. We're not going to check our own vineyard. We're not going to check our own hearts. See, so many people today, born again children of God, they've let their hearts get full of nettles and thorns, and their hearts are prickly, and their hearts are full of pain, and their hearts are full of sorrow, and their hearts are full of suffering. And you try to help them, and you try to help them, and there's one reason. Look with me in verse 31. It says, "And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles, had covered the face thereof." And look at this verse. "And the stone wall thereof was broken down. This is the reason that it gets in. This is the reason. Because the stone wall is broken down. The stone wall is gone. When the stone wall is gone, that allows a lot of things to come in. Weeds, the cares of this world, a lot of things to enter into our garden. Think of the name of Jackson. Stonewall Jackson. Why was he such a famous man? Because he said, we're going to build a stone wall and nobody's getting in. Nothing's getting in. Come on, man. Get up here. And they were strong. And they stood up for what they believed in, Jane. They stood up and they said, no, nothing's getting in here. This is what it's willing to fight for. We'll give our lives for it. And that stone wall is in our hearts. And that stone wall is around our hearts. And what happens is our hearts is that we don't stand for anything anymore. We've gotten weak, and the world and the cares and the things of this world has gotten more important, and the stone walls have fallen down. Because if we don't fortify the walls of our hearts, Satan's getting in. If we don't fortify the walls of our heart, nettles are getting in, thorns are getting in, pain and suffering's on the way. Depression is running amok in America. And suicides. And people getting drunk. And doing drugs just to try to cover the pain. A Christian ought not to have that kind of pain. A Christian ought to have the fruit of love and joy and peace. Even if you're in prison. Even if it doesn't matter where you're at. It says the peace of God passes all understanding. The joy of the Lord is my strength. What happens is as soon as your joy starts to go a little, that's where you ought to run and fortify the wall. Because what happens is you see it, people, oh, yeah, amen. Remember Greg, we were talking about last night, said, I'm just not that fired up. I don't know what it is. I feel bad. He watched Mike's video and he said, I feel guilty. I'm like, me too. Because I don't feel like I'm actively working involved in the ministry of God like he is. I'm not actively, and you know, I told him, I said, you know what, it's really easy to do it there. You come to America, it's hard. Over there, people don't have the things that we have. They don't have the cares of the riches and the things that we have that the Bible says. They don't have the apartments and the pipes breaking. They don't have pipes. And they're happy. They sit around drinking tea all day. I don't know what's in it, but they're all happy. Maybe we ought to try some of that stuff. I don't know. They're all like, hey, have some tea. I'm like, what's in it? Don't worry about it. Just drink it. No. But what I'm saying is, Greg said, you know, I just don't have that passion, that burning. And that, you know why? Because as soon as you start losing your joy, that's when the first thing. As soon as you start losing your joy, our focus is not on Jesus anymore. Our focus is on ourselves, on our problems, on the thorns, on this, on the sticker bushes, on the this. And I'm here to tell you right now, that's why Jesus said the cares of this world creep in and they grow up. And the weeds, I'm here to tell you, it can happen overnight. Happened overnight. And I'm not going to show you, but it says that in Matthew 17, it says that there was a man had good ground, a good field, and he planted good crop of wheat in it. And he went to bed, he went to sleep, and in the middle of the night, the devil came along and planted tares in. And then they all started growing up, and they went, hey, didn't we plant good seed here? What happened? And they said, the enemy, while we were sleeping, came in. And they said, tear it up. And he goes, no, if you tear that up, you're going to end up tearing up the good with the bad. I'm going to tell you, we got an enemy. And he wants to steal and rob and kill. He wants to take our joy. The stone wall, I just want you to realize, the wall is so important. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6 and we'll finish. It is so important in your joy, in your love, in your life. How many people could I ask and say, hey, you want more joy? And who's going to say no? I got too much. I'll be honest with you. It shouldn't take much to light a fire under your joy. It shouldn't take much because we sing the songs, we're going to heaven. You know, we sing the songs, my name is written down. We know what Jesus did. He wore the crown of thorns, didn't he? They were, you know what? He didn't just wear them, Steve. They were beat on his head. And he wore it as a crown that he's taken the judgment. He's taken it all away. In Ephesians chapter 6, look in verse 13 with me, please. It says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to, what church? Stand. What's the next word? Stand, therefore. having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Stand therefore, that's the stone wall. And we've let our walls break down. We've allowed the enemy to come in and trample us over. How quickly does it take us to lose our joy? That's the thing. If you can lose your joy real fast, your wall. So you better go check your walls. You better start fortifying your walls. Because I'm here to tell you, once the nettles come in, if you go, I don't know, I'm just saying, if you go a week, if you go one day and all of a sudden you're grumpy and your joy's gone, and you don't do anything about it, 1 week later, I don't know, but a lot of nettles can grow and a lot of thorns can grow in 1 week. I see it all the time, unhappy Christians. It's kind of like an oxymoron. You're a Christian, but I'm unhappy. Huh? How can that, wait a minute, you're a Christian and you're forgiven and all your sins are gone and you didn't do nothing to do about it and you got the gift of grace and you got the Holy Ghost and you're going to heaven when you die? Yeah. And you're not happy? No. I don't get it. That's why he wore the thorns. That's why it says that we need to prepare our work without. Because it's all about Jesus. And it's all about what Jesus did. But when we stop working for actively, like last night, you know, we were preaching and singing in church last night. Tonight, we're preaching and singing in church. We should be doing something every night. I don't mean literally outside doing something. We ought to be talking about Jesus every night. Because maybe not at night, how about every day? How many people have jobs? You got jobs? Is there any people at your jobs? Yeah, there's a mission field right there. Anybody have a house? Live in an apartment or a house? You got any neighbors? Yeah? You got people live around you? Really? It's a mission field right there. Anybody here? I know no one does. Anyone go to the Wawa? Anybody? It's a mission field. Trust me. We ought to actively, God has given us every single chance to talk about Jesus. And when you do, it does something in here. It starts to fill your joy. You start to get excited. You start to get, woo, glory to God, hallelujah, I'm saved. I'm saved, Mike. I'm going to heaven, Michael. Woo! It starts firing up. That's how fast you can get excited. But the problem is we don't know what we're, I don't know why he gets excited. We're not actively working in the field. We're just worrying about our own house, and we're trying to get our own life together, and we're trying to get our own business together, when really we're supposed to be about God's business. Amen? Amen. We'll finish with this. Go back to Proverbs, and we're done. Hey, Will, you didn't pick up anybody tonight. They weren't coming? You coming Sunday? Okay. Well, I think he's willing. Make sure you call some people and get them up. Amen. Proverbs 24, look in verse 11 with me. It says in Proverbs 24, verse 11, it says, if you forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, does not he that ponders the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, does not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? We've been given the greatest gift in the world. Nick, we've been given the greatest gift in the world. Salvation.
Amen.
We don't deserve it. We didn't do anything for it. He did it all. And yet he gives it to us. We are saved eternally. Our sins are gone forever. We will never see the judgment and the wrath of God. And in all reality, with Christ in our life, we won't even see the nettles or the thorns. Oh, they'll be out there, but we won't feel them. They won't be in our vineyard. I just want everyone to realize right now this, when God is teaching us this, he just said, if you forbear, that means if you do not do it. If you do not try to deliver them that are drawn to death. Our lives are nothing outside of the work of God. Our lives have no purpose in them outside of what God wants us to do. Because it's always about other people and saving souls and helping people. Because, you know, people, if our hearts can get thorny, just think how the world, how fast it gets. Amen? Amen. I'm finished for tonight. But I'm just asking you, please, prepare your work in the field first. Then build your house. Here God has given us this beautiful property, this beautiful building. It's not ours. We don't own it. I wish we did. I don't know what's going to happen. in 2 years from now. I don't know what's going to happen. But all I know is that if we will prepare our work without, then God will let us build our house with Him.
Amen.
We need to go out and reach the people of this land. We need to go out, you know, the Israelites, they were given a land. And they said, defend it. It's your property. It's your land. I've been claiming and praying every day for this whole neighborhood and for all of Aston and Brookhaven and Parkside and Chichester and Delaware and Media, and just praying for the whole area, because it's our mission field. It's where we're supposed to be right now. Amen. Will you please help me to go out and plant the seeds? Will you please help me go out and get active in the work of God? I guarantee you, you'll start to receive the Spirit and the joy of the Lord again. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you for Jesus, our Lord and Savior, that took the judgment that we deserve. He took the punishment that we deserve. He took the curse that we deserve. And now, Lord God, because of Jesus, we are eternally saved. Because of Jesus living in us, we have hope for tomorrow. Because He lives, we can face tomorrow. Because of Jesus, we can remove the nettles and the thorns in our hearts. Because of Jesus, we can have joy. We can have love. And we can have peace. And we can have a fruitful heart. We can have a good in heart and be happy, Lord, in Jesus. Because of Jesus, every single thing that can be imagined can be achieved. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus, that He wore our crown. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus. I pray now and ask that each and every person here would call upon Jesus and say, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for suffering for me, for taking my punishment and my shame. I believe in you. I love you and I need you. And I don't want, Lord, to be cast off. I want to be received by you and loved. And I want my heart to be filled with joy. God, I pray and ask for Jesus to save me, to enter into my heart, to give me eternal life, and find a place in here, Lord, and make it your own. And help my heart, Lord. Give me a new heart. Give me a heart that cares for souls. Give me a heart that has a burden for the lost. And Lord God, I'll thank you, and I'll praise you, and I'll worship you. Forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very, very much for coming tonight. I hope and pray that the message was a blessing to you. Thank you so very, very much. God bless you guys. For Saturday.